Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Ian Safar here with you on this Wednesday morning. Joe Rex Road out today. He will be back tomorrow. We'll be joined by Steve Lehman from News Channel 5 coming up at 7:30. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him, so looking forward to that. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. The new season of Quarterback is out on Netflix, and I have not seen it yet, Ian.
I have not either.
I am looking forward to it. It's got Kirk Cousins, Jared Goff, and Joe Burrow in there. I did see a nice clip of Joe Burrow here in Nashville from the Quarterback documentary.
Okay.
Of them beating the Titans. I think the final score of that game was 37-27. And Burrow's just beside himself with anger on the sideline about how bad they played and only beating the Titans by 10. And
yeah,
it's good stuff.
Sounds about right.
Kind of shows you where the Titans are
yeah,
right now. But one of the big stories that's come out of this so far is Kirk Cousins is back in. If you remember, he was a part of the Quarterback season one, which I believe was him, Mahomes, and Marcus Mariota. So how about that trio in Quarterback season one? Kirk Cousins is back for more of Quarterback in season two. And in there, he talks about what happened and how he felt when the Atlanta Falcons drafted Michael Penix Jr., which was a big surprise in the draft that night after they just handed a four-year deal to Kirk Cousins. He said he felt a little bit misled when the Falcons took Penix that high. And basically he was talking about how, you know, in free agency, before he had signed with Atlanta, he really didn't want to leave Minnesota, but Minnesota was not showing a willingness to give him anything beyond a one-year deal. And he knew that they were going to draft a quarterback. So when he went out into free agency and Atlanta offered him a multi-year deal on the money that they offered, he apparently went back to Minnesota and was like, hey, this is what they're offering. Do you want to match? And they basically told him, nope, have fun in Atlanta. So that's what he did. He ends up signing with the Falcons. And then immediately the Falcons turn around and draft a quarterback in the first round. And by the time last year was over, Michael Penix was playing and was the starting quarterback, and Kirk Cousins was the backup. And that's where things stand for him heading into this season at this point. Here was the quote that Cousins had in the episode. Quote, certainly, if I had the information around free agency, it certainly would have affected my decision. I had no reason to leave Minnesota with how much we loved it there if both teams are going to be drafting a quarterback high. But I've also learned in 12 years in this league that you're not entitled to anything. It's all about being able to earn your spot and prove yourself. So, I mean, that's probably about as pointed as you're going to hear Kirk Cousins get.
No doubt.
He doesn't really, you know, air out dirty laundry in the
yeah,
media. He's not, you know, he's not really that guy. And he's, look, Kirk Cousins, by all accounts, is a really good dude and good teammate. So, I, you know, even with the situation being what it is, I expect he's going to handle it the way you'd like to see him handle it. But it was interesting how, like, it looks like Atlanta just kind of sold him on one thing and then immediately turned around and they fell in love with Penix and drafted him. And as we know, the four-year deal basically turned into about three-quarters of a season of Kirk Cousins as a starting quarterback in Atlanta. So I saw that clip yesterday. It was really interesting. And I wonder if there's some regret on his part of not just taking the one-year deal with Minnesota and then figuring it out after that.
Probably. I mean, considering what Sam Darnold did there, you would think Cousins would have been okay. The offensive line looked pretty solid. I mean, Darnold was about a setup as well as you could expect from any type of quarterback, given the situation around him. Talking coach, how the line protected, you got that wide receiver group, you know, bring in Aaron Jones at running back. You would think Cousins would have been fine, although you just don't know, I guess, how he would have responded still with the injury. You would have, you know, I don't know how much that slowed him last year coming off the Achilles,
yeah,
but I mean, he probably should have stayed in Minnesota. I don't know what he would have been able to parlay that into.
That's the thing. I mean, the one thing that you look at if you're Kirk Cousins that you don't regret is, oh, Atlanta gave me a four-year deal and $100 million guaranteed.
Yep.
So
I'm not sure you could have gotten that even if one more good year with
right,
Minnesota, given your age. You know, maybe you did a good job striking while the iron was hot there. It's not a bad deal.
I mean, I'm still curious with him. Is there going to reach a point this year before the trade deadline comes where a team either suffers an injury at quarterback or they look at their quarterback situation and say, man, this guy's just not getting it done. Let's go make a deal for Cousins and give him the chance to be our starter again.
Depending on the team, I could see it.
I could see it too. Like Atlanta, what would it take for you to move him? I mean, here's the other part of this. Cousins was bad last year, right? And I know that Cousins was fresh off a torn Achilles at that point. And, you know, it's obviously an incredibly difficult injury to come back from. So, look, maybe he's healthier this year. There's been some talk in the offseason that it wasn't just, you know, the year back from the Achilles. He was also dealing with maybe a shoulder thing last year. But, I mean, last year he ended up with 3,500 yards, 18 touchdowns, and 16 picks in 14 games. And he's typically been a guy that does a decent job, not a great job, but a decent job of taking care of the football and making good decisions. And there are some games you watch last year and it's like, oh, man, how do you
not
see that
good
guy?
It was
What's
not
going
good.
On out there? So that's the other part of all this is if you're a team out there and you're looking at Cousins at his age at this point, he's 36.
It would have to be the perfect storm. You know, it'd have to be a contending team
right. With
a solid, awesome group around him, and you just need someone to come in and plug in. Like if the Rams, you know, I don't know who the Rams backup is off the top of my head behind Stafford, but then, you know, that kind of
right. Situation
sticks out. You know, like the Steelers, they went all in for Rodgers. Something were to happen there, do you make a move for
Cousins? Instead of throwing Mason Rudolph back out there?
Yeah, considering what they've done around him, and they kind of feel like Pittsburgh's going all in right now. You know, would they make a move for it? San Francisco, you know, if Purdy goes down, would they make a move?
That's an interesting one, yeah.
Yeah, like I, there's probably a handful of teams you could probably go through and be like, hey, he might fit so-and-so's system, he's familiar, and they're in a win-now mode and everything around them is perfect and the quarterback gets hurt, you know?
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be too surprised to see that happen.
Well, as Skyler points out on the text line, you know, he says Cousins also had a 500-yard passing game last year. I don't know why he had the struggles he had toward the middle of the year. He started the season pretty well, and it was like, man, look at Kirk Cousins out there. And then all of a sudden, like he was throwing some picks where you're just like, is he just not seeing the guy? Can he not get the ball there anymore? What's happened to the velocity? Like there was a lot of plays toward the end of his tenure as starting quarterback last year. You're like, man, what is that? Like, what's going on with him? Michael in Madison says, Kirk Cousins to Indianapolis to finish off the quarterback trifectas of all time.
Wow. Now, that would be something.
Daniel Jones, Anthony Richardson, and then by like week three or four, bring in Kirk Cousins.
I was going to say, what if they start with Daniel Jones, he gets hurt, and they're like, you know what? Let's just bring in Cousins, and the Richardson stays on the bench. Now, that would be hardcore.
That would be. That'd be a heck of a room. Cousins. I mean, at that point, why not Cleveland? They've got about 1,000 quarterbacks down there. Just add another one.
Might as well. Yeah. Bring them all in.
Just get them. Get
just
it.
Have everybody. And
out
you
of
can
one
have
of these six guys.
Our quarterback buffet.
Somebody's going to play well for us. We don't know who it's going to be, but one of these guys is going to play well. One texter says there was an article on ESPN.com about quarterbacks who have gotten paid, and Cousins has made so much money thus far. It's ridiculous. He's made an absurd amount of money.
He is in the quarterback business Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah.
Probably. As far as guaranteed contracts, the whole Washington thing, and then to Minnesota, and then over here to Atlanta. I mean, that is pretty good. I mean, good for him. He's found a way to parlay that. So, hey, never underestimate a needy team for a quarterback around the league. Yeah. You'll always find someone desperate.
It's pretty wild. I mean, you talk about going from the franchise tag situation in Washington.
That whole thing was a mess up too, huh?
It was. And then the huge deal in Minnesota that he got, the fully guaranteed contract and all that stuff.
Yep.
And then even this deal, like this deal in Atlanta, when they gave it to him,
everyone
was
still
what?
Surprised that
4 years?
He got so much.
And he got that much money?
Coming
so again,
yeah.
Hey, look, he is for the most part, been very accurate in his career.
That's
and
true.
It's amazing. Like if you can consistently deliver the football where it needs to be.
Yep.
How much teams will pay you?
Yeah, I mean, you know what to do. You get the ball out. you get it to your guys, and you can show a consistent level of at least achieving, you know, winning a division,
yeah,
then they'll sign you up.
Keith Somebody says will. Cleveland treats quarterbacks like Pokemon, got to catch them all. I mean, if you go by the odds, if you get it's not a horrible strategy. If you get about seven quarterbacks in there, surely, one of them's going to work,
surely,
right?
One will hit. Yeah. Man, even if a couple of them are rookies. And they have quite the age range there.
They do.
All the way from
get Joe Flacco old pawpaw out
all
there.
All the way to Dylan Gabriel, who's an old rookie, to Shedeur Sanders, to who's the other one? Is it Kenny Pickett? Yeah. I think it's Kenny Pickett. He's kind of in between. So, hey, all types of characters in Cleveland.
615-737-1025. Our phone number, more of your thoughts to get to on our text line coming up next. Steve Lehman from News Channel 5 will be with us at 7:30. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Tune in to ESPN 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on Durham. Pregame at 5:20, first pitch at 5:35. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds baseball on ESPN 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. We'll have Steve Lehman from News Channel 5 coming up here at 7:30. By the way, Lehman, a big tennis Wimbledon guy. Ian is stunned that Wimbledon's still going on.
Quarterfinal. I feel like I've been watching this thing for I don't even know how long. The TV's up here, but just come in, turn on. Wimbledon's back on.
Wimbledon's still going.
It's still going. Oh, it's the quarterfinal. Okay. But, hey, I mean.
It does kind of feel like it lasts a month.
Yeah, it feels like it's been going for a hot minute. I mean, I'm not trying to hate because it's good tennis and these people are, you know, very good at what they do. And it's entertaining to watch. I used to watch a lot of tennis back in the day.
Same.
I mean, there was that stretch where tennis was really kind of fun.
Federer, Nadal, Djokovic, like at the height.
That, and even the generation before.
The Sampras, Agassi.
Yep. Whole situation. Like, I remember watching a lot of tennis back then.
Oh, yeah. It's good stuff.
Yeah. And my grandmother used to really like tennis, so I remember being out there visiting a couple times and this during the summer, and this was on and watching some. So, yeah, I used to watch. Tennis used to be fun, kind of like golf. I guess golf is kind of making a comeback. But,
oh, yeah.
So, yeah, maybe tennis one day we'll get back to our glory days.
We'll get through Rex Rhodes' thoughts on all things Wimbledon and golf tomorrow.
Oh, that would be fantastic. Tally-ho!
Yes. I've got a career earnings list pulled up in the NFL, and this is from overthecap.com. So I believe it's just factoring in the contracts that have been, like, the year is completed. So, like, for example, Cousins still has some money left on his Falcons contract that has not been factored into this yet. But as things stand right now, the highest career earner in the history of football, Aaron Rodgers, who has made $381 million.
Now he's in his 40s now. I guess that makes sense.
Right.
Just pure longevity.
Right behind him at $364 million is Matt Stafford.
I almost said Matt Ryan.
He is also up high. Matt Ryan, I believe, is fifth on the list at $306
million. Stafford, pretty good.
Stafford's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, good for him.
The top five are Aaron Rodgers at one, Stafford at two, Brady at three at $317 million.
He played a long time too.
Russell Wilson at four.
Jeez.
At $313 million. And then Matt Ryan at five at $306 million. Okay. Kirk Cousins is the number six player on the list. He's at $293 million. He's going to move past Matt Ryan, I think, this year. So he will continue to move up the list. Kirk Cousins, when you look at it this way, it's pretty amazing. Kirk Cousins has made $293 million. Almost $294 million to this point in his NFL career. A couple of spots down the list from Kirk Cousins is one Peyton Manning,
who has made
$247 million in his NFL career, which means that Kirk Cousins to this point has made $50 million more in his career than Peyton Manning did and is going to continue to inflate that number. Now, as we know, you know, Peyton Manning's not hurt for money. A lot of commercials involved there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he is. He's everywhere.
So he did a lot of things and continues to do a lot of
Omaha.
Things. So I'm not trying to get you to feel bad for Peyton Manning. I'm just trying to illustrate Kirk Cousins made some cash in his career.
You like that?
Like, we had a texter earlier that asked us, is he the highest paid quarterback that has never made a Super Bowl? And I was like, he's got to be, but I'll look. The answer is yes. He's the highest paid quarterback in NFL history that has not made a Super Bowl.
It is a little bit surprising he hasn't won more, but I guess when you're in Washington for that first little stretch, you could understand why. It was hard to win there for a while. And then Minnesota's probably where he, quote, underachieved, given some of the talent and some of the playoff situations that they had there. But, yeah, good for Kirk Cousins. Seems like a really nice guy, you know, down to earth, good family man, seems pretty drama-free for the most part.
By the way, 18th on this list, one Ryan Tannehill.
Oh.
He is 18th in career earnings in the history of the National Football
League. That's pretty good.
At $195 million. So, there you go. I mean, obviously, a lot of this has to do with when you played. Like, we all know the deals for quarterbacks are going up. So, you know, you're going to look down this list, and it's going to be a while before you get to, you know, Joe Montana.
It is.
And guys like that.
It is interesting how the gap went pretty quickly. In salaries in the NFL.
It's like, I remember, and Joe's talked about this, but I remember it. I remember when Stafford got a contract and he was getting paid $30 million a year. And people were like, oh my God, $30 million a year for a quarterback? And think about that now.
Yeah.
Like, that's half of what most of these guys are getting paid.
And it's not just quarterback, too.
I know.
You know, like the top wide receivers, the top edge rushers, what they get paid now compared to what they got paid probably even just 10 years ago, I think it's pretty, I don't know. I mean, I get it. The money's everywhere. So, hey, the owners want to spend the money. I don't care. Like, give the players all the money you want. You know, the owners have so much money, they don't even know what to do with. Just give it to the players. I don't care. But it's just hardcore how quickly it's gone up.
The 14th guy on the list. So the guy who's made the career earnings, the 14th highest in the history of the league, is the first non-quarterback you get to. And it's Trent Williams, the left tackle.
He's 40 years old, too.
Yeah.
So a lot of it is longevity. So good for you. I mean, if you're making that much, you're also playing a lot, which is good because that means you've dedicated yourself to playing in the game and all the good stuff, taking care of your body. So you probably deserve the money.
But think, like, you're talking about a left tackle that has made $218 million in his career. $218,755,375, if you want to know the exact dollar amount.
Exact.
It's down to the dollar on this list. It's just kind of amazing when you look at this list. And then think about, I mean, I know we talked about this a little bit with Will Levis and it totally flamed out, but think about Cam Ward right now and the number one overall pick, and if you hit, like if you end up being that guy, what's your numbers going to look like here in a few years? Because, I mean, look, fair or not, it's going up, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, It's still going up.
It's still going up. The cap's still going up in the NFL.
The balloon has not popped yet.
It hasn't yet, and who knows? Like, by the time Cam Ward's contract comes up, if he's good, like, if he comes out there and he is if he's exactly what the Titans hope he is,
playoff
which is
run,
a franchise
something like that, win
caliber
the division.
Player,
yep.
Like, could he be making $70 million a year by the time his deal comes up?
It's possible,
I don't think
that's
out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah, especially
it's crazy to think about.
You're talking 4 years, you know? I mean, in 4 years from now in the NFL, that's like, I don't even know. That's quantum leap in the NFL in professional sports these days with the way the TV contracts and everything is going on. And
I mean, Dak's making 60 right now. He's making $60 million this year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, 70 may be lowballing it here in 4 years.
Yeah, we'll
maybe
see.
More than that.
I mean, yeah, I mean, it didn't take long for the 50s to already get to 60.
Exactly.
I mean, we were talking, what, Trevor Lawrence in the low 50s. Mahomes is in the upper 40s. Josh Allen's in the upper 40s. So they probably will get over Dak, which is already in the 60s. So it'll be 60-something here before too long.
One texter asking about where Deshaun Watson is on this list. Tannehill's at 18th. Watson is at 20th. So Deshaun Watson at $188 million.
He never has to play again.
And apparently he's just not going to play. So there's also that goes into it as well. It's amazing when you look at the quarterbacks and just how much money is getting thrown out there right now. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll be joined coming up next by Steve Lehman from News Channel 5. We'll get his thoughts on all things Titans as well. The Borchetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix coming to the Nashville Super Speedway on Labor Day weekend. And 1025 The Game has your chance to win VIP tickets to the IndyCar race. Just text in the keyword race to 615-737-1025 to be entered to win a pair of VIP tickets. Again, text race to 615-737-1025. For more information on the event, visit musiccitygp.com. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Ian Safar here with you on this Wednesday morning. We'll have the Rob Rant coming up at 7:45. Right now, talking some Titans, and to help us do that, we head to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Steve Lehman from News Channel 5. Steve, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Robbie. I'm doing great. I love the fact that Wimbledon is still on, you know, much better than waking up with Get Up and First Take every
Agreed.
Morning. So as far as I'm concerned, they can play all July.
I'm with you. And we were talking about this yesterday at the Nick Perbix press conference. But I thought Novak Djokovic was in trouble the other day, and then he just absolutely destroyed in his in the next sets there. So we'll see. I think he's playing today at 9 o'clock. So after you're done blabbering with me, you can go watch some actual high-level tennis being played out there.
I look forward to that. I look forward to that. That's the thing about those big guys is in best of five, if you don't truly knock them to the mat, you're in trouble because they are very tough to take down best of five.
There is no doubt about that. So, Steve, we were talking earlier this morning about Jeffrey Simmons, and, you know, Jeremy Fowler comes out with these lists every year where he talks to coaches and executives and scouts, and they kind of rank the positions, and they've got – Jeffrey Simmons is the fourth best defensive tackle, but one thing they talk about in that is the lack of help that he's had around him, how bad the Titans have been as a team. And I hear that, and I look at this year's team, Steve, and edge rusher looks really light to me. I don't know how much production they're going to get from that spot. The more I look at it, the more I come away thinking, if this defense is going to be good this year, they're going to need T'Vondre Sweat to just take a massive jump from year one to year two. How do you view their current setup and the importance that Sweat is going to play in this?
I 100% agree with that, Robbie. And they've kind of downplayed this entire thing. Across the board, you need more production from Jeffrey Simmons. He has been a space eater up front. He has occupied double teams, which theoretically frees up space for other guys to go make the plays. They just haven't had enough other guys make the plays as he's getting all the double teams. And so there's a couple things that have to happen. Is Jeffrey Simmons going to have to beat some of those double teams to bring up his production himself? But those other guys are going to have to step up, and the most likely candidate to do it is T'Vondre Sweat. I thought Sweat had a very good rookie season last year as a run stopper. And that's what he's always going to be best at in his career. That's just what his skill set and what his body type is. But he has the potential to be a good pass rusher himself. And he downplayed that this spring, saying, hey, I was out there on third down. I did my job, all that. But he's got to find a way to impact the pocket more than he did last year. And whether that's actually getting to the quarterback for a sack or just forcing the quarterback to move by disrupting the center of the pocket, he can make a bigger impact there. And if he does, I think that allows Simmons to get more as well. They've talked a lot about marrying the entire pass rush together, and I think it starts with those two guys, but it's really about everybody doing their job and working it all together.
What's the realistic expectation for Femi Oladejo this year? Because on one hand, Steve, and we talked about this the other day on the show, on one hand, I look at him and I say, he just started playing this position in college last year. So it feels like more of a project pick of, you know, hopefully this time 2 years from now, he's a really, really good edge rusher for you. But he's also a second-round pick, and with the rest of their roster being what it is right now, they need him. Like, they need him to come in and play and to be productive immediately. So how do you balance those two things if you're a Titans fan looking at Oladejo this year?
Yeah, it is balanced. I think you need two things from him. You need him to be steady enough that he can be out there as a three-down linebacker for you, a starting linebacker. He's got to be good enough against the run and the pass that he can be in that slot. But he also has to be good enough to show you some flashes of why you drafted him in the second round and why you believe he can be a guy that is a bona fide edge rusher in this league in year two, in year three, in year four of this contract. And so he needs to be steady. He cannot hurt you in any of these moments because of his unfamiliarity with the position. But then you got to see some of those flashes. You got to see that bend across the edge. You got to see the speed that has people believing that he projects to be a high-end edge rusher. And he's going to have to get home some of the time. I don't know what the realistic projection for sacks is. You know, can he get 7 or 8 this year? That seems high to me. But can he give you 5 and show you some of those flashes where he is getting around the corner and getting to the quarterback and getting him on the ground? That's what you need to see from Femi Oladejo this year in my mind.
So, Steve, on the offensive side of the ball, you know, it looks like at wide receiver right now, Calvin Ridley, you know, Tyler Lockett, what's going to be at age 33, so we'll see what that looks like. And then a bunch of hope after that. We'll see what Io Manor brings to the table and what DK brings to the table. But as you're looking at their wide receiver core right now, what's your ceiling for what you think Calvin Ridley can give this team? Because I look at him last year, and he's basically had identical stats the last 2 years. I think he was at 1,016 in Jacksonville and 1,017 last year with the Titans on 64 catches. And that was with, as you know, big problems in the beginning of the year, getting on the same page with Will Levis, and quarterback play throughout the season last year that wasn't any good at all. So if the quarterback play is better this year, and hopefully it is, with Cam Ward, what do you think Calvin Ridley still can bring at this point of his career?
I think he could take a jump this year, Robbie, in terms of his overall production and numbers in the passing game, just because of what you mentioned. If you believe Cam Ward is going to be a good quarterback, that helps right there. And just the familiarity within the offense. He struggled to get acclimated last year, and there's no question this season that he is the number one guy. Don't forget either, DeAndre Hopkins was still here at the beginning of last year, and I think there was a little bit of a struggle internally, but it was just you wanted to feed them both, and you kind of thought you had 1A and 1B. Calvin Ridley is 1 going into this year, and so I think he will get that focus from the Titans offense, and so it stands to reason that he can increase his catch total and his total yards and touchdowns this year. You'd really like to see the touchdown number go up for the Titans. But it's going to be interesting behind him, too, because while it's not clear right now, Robbie, who 2, 3, 4, 5 on down the list will be at the wide receiver position, there's a lot of guys there. So there's a lot to shake out, and it will be interesting to see just what the rotation looks like at the end of the season. I mean, are your 5th and 6th wide receivers actually getting in the game and catching footballs on this team? Or is it basically Calvin Ridley, Tyler Lockett, and 1 or 2 other guys? That's going to be an interesting thing to watch because they have the numbers there that they could have more depth at that position, if not stars, than they've had in the past. We'll just see how many of those guys rise to the occasion.
So, obviously, all eyeballs here in a couple weeks are going to be on Cam Ward and what he looks like coming up in camp. Just your general impressions of what you've seen from him, what you've heard from him to this point, and we're getting ready to find out for real as training camp comes up and the games are right around the corner. But what just have been your impressions of Ward to this point?
He's got a presence, and I thought that from the moment I talked to him the day before the draft in Green Bay, he just has a presence about him. The way he carries himself, I think he attracts people, and guys want to follow him, which is a great trait to have if you're going to be an NFL quarterback. So I think all of that stuff off the field looks good. The question is how it translates to the field. And we saw some moments this spring where you looked at it and said, wow, that arm talent is something else that he's got, and there's potential here for something really, really special. And then you also saw some moments, I think it was the very last day of minicamp, where he had a couple interceptions, one of them in particular where he was rolling out to the right and threw across his body back across the middle of the field. and you just kind of scratched your head and said, okay, that's what you cannot do as a rookie in the National Football League. And so I think you're going to get all of that. I think you're going to get some moments this year where you see the spectacular and say, wow, okay, the Titans may have finally got their guy at quarterback. And then I think you're going to see some moments where you scratch your head and say, wow, that is a rookie mistake, and we got to clean that up. The key for him is to do it better than what we've seen here in the past with some other quarterbacks, in that when you make that mistake, because inevitably it's going to happen, can you learn from it, and can you give Brian Callahan and the rest of the Titans coaching staff the confidence that you won't make the same mistake again in the fourth quarter or next week or 2 weeks down the road? If he can do that, I think he's got the chance to really grow into being a quarterback that they can work with.
Steve Lehman from News Channel 5 with us here on the program. Steve, as you're looking around the AFC South, who do you think between the Titans, the Jaguars, and the Colts had the chance to take the biggest jump this year, given where their rosters are?
It's a good question. I'm going to ride the fence here. I think in terms of rising up in the division and competing with the Texans, I think I'm going to go with the Colts just based off of the roster that they have as a whole. But I'm not sold on the quarterback situation, obviously, with Anthony Richardson first and foremost. And so I don't know. In terms of if I'm looking for one team in the biggest win total, I may have to go with the Titans there. And that's mainly starting from where they were last year. Three wins gives you a lot of room for improvement. If you tell me that Cam Ward is the truth and the Titans become competitive within that AFC South division, you could be talking about a team that has 8 or 9 wins at the end of the season, and then that would be the biggest improvement. So I could see either way, but if you were saying pick a team right now, gun to your head, who has the best chance to rival the Texans this year in the division, I guess I'm figuring that Indianapolis finds a way to piece something together at the quarterback position and that they're the ones who would do it.
Steve, last thing for you here. I do want to get your thoughts on what the Predators have done to this point in the offseason. Not a whole lot going on in free agency. They add 2 defensemen in Nick Hague and Nick Perbix. You have a lot of, at this moment, looking at the roster and saying, well, you hope a lot of these forwards just play a whole lot better than they did a year ago. What do you make of where the Predators sit as the big wave of NHL free agency is over?
Yeah, I understand the free agency moves, but I also understand if you're a fan that it's not very sexy in terms of what they did just to shore up some of the things on the blue line here this offseason. And that was really the problem if you looked at the second half of the season, Robbie, is even as you were watching the Preds and saying, okay, this isn't their year, where was the hope looking into the offseason that it was going to be drastically different because of where they were in terms of their contract structures? And so you head into this season essentially running it back with Andrew Brunette and this roster. And so you need Brunette to be a better coach. You need Steven Stamkos, Jonathan Marchessault, and Brady Shea to be better players this year, to feel like it's their team and they have to live up to the contracts that they signed a year ago right now. You need UC Saros to get back to a Vezina Trophy-type goaltender, and that's not to put all of the defensive struggles on him last season, but it is to say that he has to erase some of those mistakes when they happen in a way that he didn't do this past season. And so the Preds are in an unenviable situation right now where their best players cost them a lot of money and they are locked up for a considerable period of time, and they're going to have to start playing like their best players this season. Otherwise, there's going to be a lot of disappointment again, I think, in the coming months and into next season, because you're paying these guys like you're going to be a contender in a very, very good Central Division and a factor when it comes to the playoffs, and they weren't anywhere close last season, as you know. And so all of those guys have to step up. Otherwise, there's going to be a lot of questions come January or February next year about what's gone wrong.
Steve, great stuff, brother. Appreciate you taking time to be with me this morning, and enjoy some tennis this morning. We'll talk to you soon.
I will do that. Thanks, Robbie. Be good.
Absolutely. Steve Lehman from News Channel 5, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll have the Rob Rant coming up next. Take your thoughts on everything Steve had to say as well. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Hey. Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now!
Now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Welcome back to the Fat and Bald Show.
The New Jersey version of Mr. Clean is here.
Son, yes. You just listen to me. Things are going to be fine. That's really the general takeaway.
You know what? You got to stop the grunting.
They got Southwest points for that? Oh, my goodness. Oh, that's good a lot Lord. Of games.
What are you talking about?
You grunt on every shot. Every shot you hit, you make this disgusting noise.
What about Blink-182? Because I got to tell you, that's a good cover of Journey they did there.
They suck. Why would you even... Why do they cover that song?
Because it's good.
I must really be obsessed with nipples.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rob Rant here on the program. You can check it out every morning, either the Rob Rant or the Rex Rant. Ian Safar here with me today. Rex Road is out. He will be back tomorrow. I got a two-part rant today that has to do with the same thing, but it's just okay. Two different people.
All right.
We got a problem in this town. We got a problem in this general area. And it's, you know, it's been there before, but I feel like it's becoming more and more of a problem now. All these people driving down the shoulder of the road, whether it be on the interstate, whether it be on just your normal road, your highway.
Driving the shoulder.
Yeah, they're driving down the shoulder of the road. Like they're, you know, they see a brief amount of traffic ahead of them, and they're like, well, you know what? I'm not sitting through this, so I'm just going to take off down the shoulder of the interstate.
Very dangerous.
Or I'm going to take off down the shoulder of the road. Happened on two separate occasions to me yesterday where you get – and again, it's minimal traffic. Like, I'm not sitting here talking about we were standstill for 30 minutes. It was stop-and-go traffic for about a five-minute span, and then you got around whatever was going on up there, and everything was all good. But people just flying down the shoulder of the road, and it makes me, like, unless you're having some sort of medical emergency or somebody in your car is having some sort of medical emergency, there's nothing you're doing that is that important. Like, your time is not that much more important than everyone else. You saving 3 minutes, potentially, at the end of the day, is really not that important.
Especially considering the consequences of an accident.
Correct.
Of the severity of something that could happen there.
Correct. Yeah. So there's that part of it which just infuriates me when I see it. I tell you what makes me equally as mad is when these people do this and they're driving down the shoulder of the road and then they get to the point where they realize they can't keep doing that.
And they have to cut back over.
And they got
to
get back over.
Yeah.
And then people just let them over.
Mm-hmm.
Just no questions asked. They just let people over. It drives me insane. There's a saying in parenting that I really like, which is you don't reward bad behavior. You know, I will almost go to extremes
to not let people over. Yeah, I don't like
go
that
down
either.
That way.
Yeah, there's whether it's the shoulder situation or the whole, hey, I'm getting ready to merge into this exit lane and you're in line and then all the other cars go on the left or
yes.
to try and go around you, and then they're also trying to get into that lane, but they go to the very end that's maybe going west and you're going east, but they'll go west that's open, and then when it stops at the split, they try and sneak in.
Oh yeah,
that's not making
way,
anything better.
That happens all the time over here too, like on the way. There's not much traffic that we have to deal with getting here, especially when we have our 2 hour pre-show meeting that we do.
And
we,
yes, it's we really pretty it's it. Pretty empty out
it's
there.
It's extensive. There's not a whole lot of stuff going on, but people are trying to get to the airport over here. And they will do that. Well, there will be, at times, it's usually on like Monday morning, this long line to get into the airport of cars. And then people feel like they've got to just fly down that lane to the left next to it.
And then squeeze
over.
And then
squeeze right into the right.
That's right. Yeah.
And it drives, I'm not even going to the airport.
Like the rest of us aren't in line waiting to go the same spot as you are?
Like, I'm not even going to the airport, and it still drives me nuts.
Oh, that's just inconsiderate people. They're just inconsiderate.
So, like, it is... It's an epidemic right now in this town, and I don't know. Like, I'm sure it's always been anywhere you want to pick out to some degree. Like, it's not a specific to Nashville thing.
I blame the California drivers.
I do, too. Like, I feel like it's happening more often here. You know, obviously, we got more people that live here now, and more people are moving here, and in some ways, that's great. But in ways like this, it's not. Stay in your lane. Like, there's nothing you're doing that is that important where you've got to just fly down the shoulder of the road just because you might have to sit in traffic for 4 minutes.
Yep.
Like, there's nothing you're doing
that's
that important. It's like these people that just pull out in front of a stop sign when they've got the slightest space to get out there. When had they just waited 6 seconds,
there's no
cars
behind
them. It's like, is your life really worth saving 6 seconds? It's just a question I'm throwing out there today.
Yeah, my biggest traffic situation right now as far as rant goes is yield signs.
Yes.
I'm not sure people understand what yield signs actually mean. If you have a yield sign, that does not mean sneak in here at any given time. That means you must yield, a.k.a. stop,
yes,
to oncoming traffic.
Yeah.
Yield sign is cool when there's nobody coming.
Just go. Yeah.
That means you can go. But if there are people coming and you have a yield sign, you must stop and wait for that other line to go.
Yeah.
And then when it is clear, you may proceed. The reason people have the yield signs, it's usually you are turning right onto some type of on-ramp,
yeah,
and you have a yield sign. And you have a yield sign because there's people who are turning left going onto that same ramp, and they have a left turn arrow,
correct,
in which case they are going with the flow of traffic. And if you have the yield sign and are going and cut them off, you stop the flow of traffic, which then backs the left turn signal sign lane back into the other lane of traffic. So it's there for a reason. It's a yield sign. That means you stop and yield to oncoming traffic, not sneak in here and go just because there's maybe like a half a centimeter.
I feel like that's been building up in Ian for a
that's
while.
That's been
there.
Building up a little bit. Yeah.
I could tell by Ian's face that has really annoyed him lately. That's good stuff. Yeah, I saw it twice yesterday. One was just a person. It actually turned into multiple people just driving down the shoulder of the road, and this actually happened in Hendersonville. And the other was on the interstate where they just blew past everybody down the shoulder of the road and then quickly realized there was no more space and had to get back over. And the first car just let them back over. I was like, no, stand your ground. Do not reward bad behavior. Stop letting these people back in when they act like they're just more important than everybody else.
I don't do that either.
It drives me nuts.
Yeah, I'm probably to the extreme on that, but I don't like doing that either.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll take your thoughts on this current state of traffic in the city of Nashville. Plus, we will get your thoughts on the Titans as well. Wherever you want to go with the Titans, the next 30 minutes is yours. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Got some college football thoughts I want to get up to coming up at 8:30 as well. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.